Good morning, everybody. At 9:31, I declare the meeting open and I welcome councillors, council officers and members of the community. Thank you for coming today and taking an interest in the workings of your council. I'd like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people, who are the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today. And I would also like to pay respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who are present today. I've got a few things that I need to read for you today, so if you'll bear with me. Regarding conduct at this meeting today, all members of the public present at a meeting must, not without prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs, must remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way, not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause hazard or interfere with any person present, must be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at a meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements and may, without notice, require the person to leave the meeting and not return for such a period as the chairperson decides. This period may include future meetings. Councillors, this morning we have a leave of absence. The motion is to grant a leave of absence to Mayor Karen Williams, who is attending the LGAQ conference in Toowoomba. And could I also extend that leave of absence to Councillor Julie Tolte, who is recovering from surgery, if I could have a mover to that motion. A move by Councillor Edwards, seconded by Councillor Gleeson. I put the motion, those in favour. Motion is carried unanimously. Councillors, I also have a leave of absence, but that's not going to be required because Councillor Boglari is joining us from the LGAQ conference in Toowoomba by phone. Welcome, Wendy. You're with us.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you. Do we need a motion, Nick? We need a motion to allow Wendy to join us by telephone link-up, moved by Councillor Ogilvie, seconded by Councillor Bishop. I put the motion, those in favour. Motion is carried unanimously. Item 3 on our agenda is the devotional segment, and unfortunately we haven't been able to find the Minister this morning, so we'll move to item 4, which is a recognition of achievement. And I'm very, very pleased to be able to provide a recognition of achievement for you. I was fortunate enough on Saturday afternoon to be invited to attend the Emergency Services Awards at the Emergency Services Centre at Kedron, at which our Redlands SES unit was awarded for the 7th consecutive time the Regional Unit of the Year. I've got some words I'd like to read to you, if I may. The Redlands SES has won the Regional Unit of the Year for the 7th consecutive year. This year the group was officially presented the award by the State Operations Manager Brian Cox. The outstanding contribution to the local community by the Redlands SES was mentioned, particularly regarding its response to Cyclone Marcia, sandbagging and assistance to residents who were directly affected by this substantial wet weather event was described as outstanding and setting standards for other SES groups across the state to emulate. The partnership between Council, local SES and Queensland Fire and Emergency Services is forged in the protection of the community. Redlands City Council takes its responsibility serious and continues to work with local SES to ensure it remains at peak capacity to respond when needed. This outstanding and unprecedented win indicates that the Redlands SES has a continued approach to improvement and capacity. Peter Gould, who's with us today, the local controller of the SES, is to be congratulated on this outstanding effort, and ask that our thanks and gratitude be passed on to the Redlands SES executive and all of the valued SES volunteers, I believe over 200 of them, who give so much of themselves in the protection of the people of Redlands City. We recognise also the immediate past local controller, Tom Short. Peter and Tom, their executive leadership group, have demonstrated an extraordinary commitment and provided strong and decisive leadership. Peter, would you be kind enough to come forward and receive this plaque one more time from me so that we may congratulate you. Congratulations, Peter.
Yeah, we've got that.
We've got the screen on our head.
Thank you. Filling
in. And one for Alan, one for Craig.
Thank you.
Well done, mate. Thank you so much. Please pass our congratulations to the volunteers.
Much appreciated.
Thanks, Peter. And thanks to Mike Lolbach for those words. Thank you, Mike. It was a great afternoon. Councillors, item 5 on our agenda is the receipt and confirmation of the minutes from the general meeting of the 7th of October. Could I have a mover and a seconder to confirm the minutes, please? Moved by Councillor Hardman, seconded by Councillor Edwards. Are there any issues of correctness of the minutes? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 6 is matters outstanding from the minutes of the previous general meeting.
Mr Chair, can I just remind you to get Councillor Baglari's vote?
I'm sorry. You there, Wendy?
Yes.
Do I
say aye?
Yes, please. That'll be great. Because I'm going to forget you there. So it's been carried unanimously. Thanks, Nick. Matters outstanding from the minutes of the previous meeting, the Chief Executive Officer.
There's just one outstanding item, which was the local laws amendments, and that is lying on the table. It's now listed for the general meeting to come back on the 4th of the 11th.
Thank you for that. Item 7 is public participation. We have no registration of people wishing to address council. Is there anyone in the chamber that wishes to address council this morning? There being none, we'll move past public participation. Item 8 is petitions and presentations. Do we have any petitions, councillors? Any presentations? Thank you. Item 9 is the order of business. Is there any motion to alter the order of business this morning? There being none, we'll move past that. Oh, sorry, item 9.1 is to withdraw. We do have 9.1. We have a motion to withdraw an item, that being 11.2.4, the reconfiguration at 29 Sturgeon Street, Ormiston, the 1-2 subdivision. We need a motion to withdraw that, moved by Councillor Edwards, seconded by Councillor Elliott. No need to speak to it. I put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Councillor Hewlett? Motion's carried unanimously. Councillor Ogilvie?
A motion to withdraw the item 14.1.1, the request of state government to enact legislative provisions regarding political donations.
Moved by Councillor Ogilvie, seconded by Councillor Bishop. Councillor Ogilvie, there's no need to speak to that motion, I assume. Those in favour of the motion?
Aye.
Those against? Those in favour of the motion, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Ogilvie. Those against? For Councillor Baglari. Those against, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hardman, Councillor Beard. We move now to item 10, the material personal interest and conflict of interest. Councillors are reminded of their responsibilities under the Local Government Act of 2009 in relation to a councillor's material personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at the meeting. Thanks, Nick. Item 11, reports to Council. Councillors, item 11.1, the Office of the CEO. This is the monthly reports. Councillor Edwards.
Thank you. September 2015 monthly financial reports. So I move the Office's recommendation to note the reports.
Seconded. Councillor Elliott. Councillor Edwards.
The operating surplus for the month of September 2015 is $4.74 million, with a favourable variance of $5.89 million compared to the year-to-date revised budget. Some of the contributing factors to this include a change to the timing for the payout of the financial assistance grant post-budget adoption. This grant was $3.22 million and only $1.3 million was budgeted for. This is purely a timing variance. There was also a favourable variance of $2.27 million in materials and services due to contractors' costs being lower than budgeted. At the end of September, Council's cash and investments stood at $126.83 million, of which $85.39 million relates to constrained reserves. All KPIs were met, excluding the asset sustainability ratio, which is considered as a stretch target, and the operating performance ratio, which is cyclical with rating revenue. Everything else is in the report.
Any speakers against the motion? Questions or comments? There being none, I put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Councillors, we have Councillor Tolley has joined us from her hospital bed. That's dedication. You there, Julie?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Are you going to stay with us?
I'll try. I run out of battery.
Well, you're in hospital to change your battery. We could have done that for free. All right, we need a motion to allow Julie to join us. Moved by Councillor Edwards, seconded by Councillor Hardman. I put the motion. Those in favour? All in favour. The motion is carried unanimously. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you.
And we wish you well. We hope that you have a speedy recovery. Okay, item 11.2 is the decisions made under delegated authority, and in Julie's absence, Councillor Gleeson would be kind enough to move them.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move item 11.2.1, decisions made under delegated authority.
Moved by Councillor Gleeson, seconded by Councillor Edwards. Councillor Gleeson?
Nothing to add.
Any speakers against the motion? Questions or comments? I put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 11.2.2, the appeals list. Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move item 11.2.2, which is the appeals report.
Moved by Councillor Gleeson, seconded by Councillor Edwards. Councillor Gleeson?
Nothing to add.
Nothing to add. Any questions or comments? We're going well here. 11.2.2, I move the motion. Move the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Put the motion, you're right. 11.2.3 has been withdrawn. Oh, no, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. No, it hasn't. Sorry, I got the wrong one. 11.2.3 is Muller Street, Redland Bay. Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move item 11.2.3, which is the site reclassification, 70 to 92 Muller Street, Redland Bay.
Moved by Councillor Gleeson. Seconded by Councillor Edwards. Councillor Gleeson.
Nothing to add, Mr. Chair.
Councillors, we workshopped this item yesterday. You'll be aware, is there any speakers against the motion to alter the classification? Councillor Ogilvie.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just quickly, I will be opposing. The reason I'm opposing is that the state planning policy definition doesn't require the presence of koalas in the area or that it be high growth or high value vegetation. It simply requires that the area is important for koalas, and in this situation it is very important, I believe, when I look at the overall mapping for the area, that the area was considered to be high value because koalas would be moving through that area in order to get to the areas to the south and even to the east. So I'll be voting against the downgrading of the definition, which will allow development to proceed.
Speakers for the motion?
My hand is up for against, Alan, when you're ready.
Okay. Do you want to speak, Wendy?
I'm speaking against the motion. I think we called before.
I did. Any speakers for the motion? Comments, Wendy?
I've also got concerns with it. I think the development application, when you look at it, has actually got mainly 400 to 500 metre.
We're not discussing the development application, Wendy. No, we're discussing the site amendment classification.
That's right, but this site amendment is to do with the development application as is written on page 12. So I think that I'm against it because this is just to allow a higher yield for the developer of 400 metre, where with wide
point of order,
design, mixed lot sizes.
Point of order. Hang on, anyway. Wendy.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. Fair call, but it's a separate issue to what we're voting on today.
It is part of the application that's mentioned in the report. Councillor Boglary.
Yes, sorry, I only heard every second word there, so I'll just sum up by saying I'll be voting against this because I feel it is just more defamation of koala value land. The developer could put larger lots here, which would be better outcome in the future, not only for the wildlife in the area, but for livability of the new development.
Any other speakers? Any other comments? I put the motion. Those in favour of the motion? One, two, three, Wendy, Julie, four. Those against? One, two, three, four, five. It's not necessarily tied. Look, I'm going to vote in favour of the recommendation. We workshopped this yesterday. The land is zoned for, council zoned the land for residential purposes. And clearly the environmental corridor that we were discussing yesterday will be maintained through the centre of the lot. So I'm going to vote in favour of the motion, and my casting vote will carry the motion. The motion is carried on my casting vote. Those four are for the motion: Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hardman, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Beard. Those against: Councillor Bishop, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Ogilvie, Councillor Boglary. Councillors and Councillor Elliott, I'm sorry, Murray. Councillors, item 11.2.4 has been withdrawn. 11.2.5 is the Rights and Road subdivision. Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd like to refer this to the divisional councillor, who I think has an alternative motion.
Councillor Hardman.
Yes, I'd like to move an alternative motion for item 11.2.5, and I believe Joyce has that for us.
An alternative motion to the officer's recommendation is going up on the board. To refuse the motion, to refuse the application. There you see it. We've all had an opportunity to look at it this morning. Seconded to the motion.
Alan, can I just please ask that it hasn't changed from the email that was sent out earlier?
It probably has, Wendy. It's probably been through a few different incarnations. It hasn't changed in its intent. It's merely added some strengthening principles. We've added some elements at which we believe it may be in conflict with the reconfiguration code to dot point number two.
Okay, thank you.
I need a seconder to the motion.
Wendy,
Councillor Boglary has seconded the motion. Councillor Hardman.
Yes, firstly I'd like to commend council officers for the months of work in trying to achieve the best possible outcome for residents that are affected in this area. They have worked within the legacy that have been left behind by the previous council's approval of the Kinross Road Structure Plan, and they have been able to bring to us today and ask us to approve an updated proposal. This application has resulted in much angst amongst the Rushwood Estate residents, and a great deal of engagement and communication by council with the residents have taken place. The Mayor and I have written dozens of responses to a range of questions that have been asked and concerns that were raised, and we sought to correct the inaccuracies that have been circulating. Many weeks ago I attended a public meeting with Councillor Tolte and sent out three separate mail-outs to update residents on this application. I myself has never seen this amount of information provided to residents via a written response is unprecedented. Both Councillor Tolte and I called in the DA so that it could be decided on by a full council, and we both listened to the concerns of those who attended the public meeting. I know our highly professional assessing officers have worked diligently to try and deliver the best possible outcome, so I thank them again for their efforts. While they addressed many of these issues raised by the residents, I remain concerned about a number of them, and that for this reason I can't support the officer's recommendation. In the original motion, I believe it did not meet the local community's expectations and definitely the residents of Rushwood Estate, who are the residents who are directly affected by this development. While good work has been done to improve the traffic impacts, asset and odour issues, I am not convinced that these will not still adversely impact the residents. I'm also concerned on the lot sizes of the proposed for the lot sizes proposed for the southern portion of the site that they do not meet the community's expectations. I told the residents when Councillor Tolte and I attended the meeting that I would not support them in this. And so today I bring to them and to Council alternative motion to point out that we believe that these are the only grounds that we've been able to come to support a refusal of this application.
Speaker against the motion. Comment.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Through you to Councillor Hardman. Councillor Hardman's had 3.5 years to bring the Kinross Road Master Plan back to Council. We could have had a look at it and gone to the government and changed it. To blame the previous Council, I never supported it, but to blame the previous Council is a very low way to go. Trust me. Councillor,
okay, that'll
are
do.
You listening?
That'll
you've
do.
Had 3.5 years to bring this back and okay. change it.
Okay, you've made a comment.
You haven't done a tap.
Okay, you've
anyway,
made a
comment. I'm moving on.
You made the comment.
I'm moving on. I fully support this. The residents, this is the planning process. It takes a while to get these three things through to Council to make a decision. Please be aware that I don't think this is a lot of grounds to fight this on. And I can see this court a couple of weeks, so the people of Kinross Road in this particular, brace yourself. The council might refuse this, but I think at the end of the day, the court will make a decision favouring the application.
Any other comments, questions? Councillor Hardman? Councillor Hardman to sum up.
No, I have nothing more to say, and hopefully that this motion will make it through. Thanks.
Okay, just before I take the vote, I think those of us who sit around this table are very much aware that from time to time we find ourselves in conflict with officers' recommendations. It doesn't happen very often. Council officers assess the application in a professional manner, and in that assessment often are not completely aware of the impact on the local community, as we become aware by the many phone calls and emails that we receive. In this case, the local community has made their voice very, very well heard, and I congratulate them for doing that. This is a code assessment application, and it could have been decided by council officers, and there would have been a very different outcome had that been the case. Councillor Hardman needs to be commended for calling it in to be decided by the full council and given the opportunity for council to determine the application. I agree with Councillor Elliott that the chances of defending this refusal are relatively small, but from time to time council has to do what we believe is the right thing in the best interests of the local community, and that's what we've done in this case. I put the motion. Those in favour of the motion?
Sorry, Alan, I'm only hearing every second word. Can I just check that we're actually voting on
the motion? Yep, those in favour of the motion?
Aye.
Those against? Did you hear that? Hi. The motion's carried unanimously. Thank you, and I think that's a popular decision. Item 11.2.6, Councillor Gleeson. Thank you, members of the community. 11.2.6, the draft planning bills. Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move item 11.2.6, but with an additional dot point that I believe Joyce might have.
Councillor Gleeson is moving slight amendment to the item 11.2.6, the draft planning bill. We need to see it first. Okay, we've all got it up on the board. We've added an extra dot point to the bottom. Can everyone see it? Murray, you're right.
A bit bigger, Joyce, if possible.
We're trying to encourage the state government to move more towards more prescriptive planning than the outcomes that we're seeing at the moment, which is universally regarded across the state as not working. Okay, everyone, see it?
Excuse me, Alan, can you read out...
Oh, I'm sorry?
Can you read it out again, please? I didn't get
that clearly. Item 3, we've added an item 3... And that is that Council, in its submission to the Department of Infrastructure, Local Government and Planning, make representations advocating for a planning framework that, one, provides greater capacity for outcomes, two, allows for the use of prescriptive plans, standards and assessment benchmarks in local government planning schemes where appropriate, and three, extends the ability of identifying prohibitive development in a local government through a planning making to a local government through a plan making process.
Thank you.
We don't have a seconder yet. Seconder to the motion, Councillor Edwards. Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. You pretty much said what I was going to say anyway. The rest of it's in the report, but just speaking on the extra additional dot point, this is just to send a message to the state government over prescriptive planning versus performance-based planning, which we've had to endure. The performance-based planning is very confusing to, a lot of the councillors, let alone the community and the public. It does no one any favours, whether it be the community, the council, and I can't speak on behalf of everybody, but I would think there's probably not a person in this room that wouldn't prefer a more prescriptive version in the planning scheme so that we know exactly what we're dealing with.
Speaker against. Comment, Wendy?
Just a comment, thank you. The Mayor and I are actually up here in the tournament at the local government conference because that is exactly what the Mayor is speaking about in the other room right now to the delegates. To try and push forward to the Local Government Association to get behind that, getting more prescriptive planning in there and making it clear for the community and councils in that direction. I'm also speaking to a planning issue to do with a code for community residents. So I just want to really support this reform that's happening, but it's time that councils and the community really have to get in, and even though it's only 2 days' time, submissions are really important because we're always whinging about the planning schemes and these overarching state government documents, and now's the time to put in these complaints. So that is actually one of the things we're talking about up here right now in the other room. So highly important.
Thank you. Any other comments? Councillor Elliott?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, my time in council, I've seen it move away from where you could just about, you were here in those early days, you could just about predict where it was going to be and what would be built, and it was good. It was a very slow process. Today we have a fast process, but you don't know what you're going to get. And I think we need the communities calling through us to tell the government this, but they clearly need themselves to tell the government. Tell the state members you don't like what's been built next door. You've got to tell them. We're telling them this way, you've got to tell them. I'm sort of the goalpost people, you know, like people condemn us, say we shift, tell us the state government. But when the goalpost and the ground keeps moving below you, we have no way until we say enough's enough. And I think enough's enough.
Thank you. Councillor Bishop.
Thank you. Through you. As local councils, we exist entirely at the behest of the state, so we are entirely impacted by these changes. I just want to make a very small point that community has until Friday only to get their submissions in on this, so hit the ground running, please, and let the state government know. They are still open for consultation, and if you go to the Queensland Planning consultation page through state government, that's open until Friday only. Please let them know.
Thank you. Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Councillor Baird. I think it's important to note, though, although we keep blaming the state for some of these planning decisions, council sets the levels of assessment in our planning scheme. We've never taken the community on an educated journey with us on the planning scheme. No one out there understands it. And the conditions of the planning scheme, the specific outcomes and the probable solutions and the overall outcomes are a bloody minefield. They're just ridiculous to try and read. They're hard to decipher and they're very, very subjective. Unless we tighten it up, unless we're more prescriptive, we're going to have ongoing problems in the years out and the community as we know it will be destroyed.
David, are you able to respond in any way to that comment? I think it was a very broad statement that did contain a lot of inaccuracies. David?
Good morning, councillors. I think, you know, as we discussed in a workshop a couple of weeks ago, performance-based planning, you know, there is a lot of debate in planning circles as to whether it's worked or not as a concept. You know, there are pros and cons to any system. In terms of the current planning scheme, I probably agree with Councillor Hewlett to some degree that there is, there is an issue with interpretation of the current planning scheme and some of the provisions within that. As we talked about in the workshop a couple of weeks ago, the important thing for us to do is to have a clear policy position and to articulate that through the planning scheme, the planning instrument. If we've got a clear policy position which is articulated clearly, it becomes a lot easier to defend.
Which we've attempted to do in the new planning scheme. Okay. Any other comments? Look, I want to just support everything that's been said, in particular what Councillor Elliott said. When we were first elected, we operated under the Integrated Planning Act, and it was a prescriptive planning scheme. For those members of the community who, like we do, scratch your head and can't understand how a lot of, you know, a plot of land that's zoned for one unit per 400 square metres at a certain density finishes up two stories higher than the planning scheme has indicated, and with twice as many units as the density would indicate. We get stuck with this every day of the week, and it's because of performance-based planning scheme. My brother spoke very passionately at the Queensland Environmental Law Association conference just a few months ago, and he was scathing in his attack on both governments, both Liberal and ALP governments of the past, who have allowed planning in Queensland to become the plaything of the development industry in particular. And he believes that the pendulum has swung far, far too far in favour of the development industry, and the performance-based planning has been part of that overall swing. And so I can only, like everyone here, support the move to reduce the reliance on performance-based planning and move more towards prescriptive planning, which will give greater certainty both to the community, to council and to developers. So, well, with that, I put the motion. Those in favour of the motion?
Aye.
Those against the motion? Carried unanimously. Thank you, councillors. We go to item 12. Oh, sorry, we have an amended motion. No, we've done that. We go to item 12, which is a Merrill Minute. There is none. We go to item 13, notice of motion or repeal an amendment. Now, I've got a notice of motion. Councillor Ogilvie has withdrawn his. Wait till I see if I can find the wording for mine. I can't find it. Has anybody got it?
I have.
Just give me a half a second. Yeah, look, what is concerning, a couple of months ago I moved a motion. Here we are. On the 8th of October, in accordance with the regulation, I gave notice to intend to move this motion. At the general meeting of the 26th of August, the council resolved to, those five dot points, I don't need to read them out, but to investigate the use of community panels with regard to the decision-making in council and to approve a budget of $10,000 to commission a report. It's become apparent that that amount of $10,000 is going to be insufficient to provide us with the information that we require, and the motion seeks to replace clause 5 with the following. Replaces clause 5 with the following wording. 5. Note that the funding for the report will be formally requested through the first budget review.
Doesn't allocate an amount.
Okay, so I'm moving that notice of motion, seconded by Councillor Bishop. I don't think I need to speak to it. We have all discussed it, and I think we all understand the intent of it. Are there any speakers against the motion? Comment, Councillor Bishop?
Thank you, through you, Chair. The conference that we attended, where community panels and the like were expressed as being a significant way forward for councils and decision making in situations where people find themselves in a difficult position. We would not want to miss an opportunity to get best practice research in this, so absolutely support it, and hope that it leads not only to a great consultant but also a great outcome.
Any other comments? Thank you. No other comments. I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously and reluctantly. Okay. Item 15, urgent business without notice. We do have a proposed urgent motion from Councillor Edwards.
I'll just wait for it to be put up on the screen there. The urgent business is that Council resolves to direct Redlands Investment Corporation to investigate options to purchase the property at 302 Old Cleveland Road, East Burtdale, on commercial and non-commercial terms, and to investigate options to develop the property and retain the existing dwelling and structures on the property, and two, to direct Redland Investment Corporation to report to Council on the results of the investigation.
Moved by Councillor Edwards, seconded by Councillor Bishop. First, we need to determine, is it urgent business? Councillors, we're all happy to deal with it. Yes. Councillor Edwards.
Thank you. Councillors, we've had a great deal of discussion regarding this property and the heritage value that the community places on buildings such as this. This motion is not to buy the property. It gives directions to Redlands Investment Corporation, which is a 100% owned council entity, to merely investigate the options to purchase and the options to develop and retain the existing structures on the property. Once those investigations have been completed, Redlands Investment Corporation will report back to council advising of the results. Any decisions about whether to proceed or not and discussions around the entity to acquire the property will be a discussion at that point in time. The motion before us today is to investigate and report back. It's not about further heritage reports or about the holding company. It's just an investigation and report to council. And Mr Chair, I hope you ensure today's discussion is in terms of standing orders and to the motion.
Speaker, against the motion. There being none, comments?
Just clarification when I can, please.
Yep. Councillor Bishop.
Thank you. Through you, I'd like to just declare or at least express the potential for perception of perceived conflict in relation to this property as local divisional councillor with those boundaries having recently shifted, and I wouldn't be after the next election. I had, as proposed by the Change Commissioner's recent findings as of last Friday, I'd just like to acknowledge that I have been involved with discussions with members of the community regarding to the heritage aspects of the property. I also have created two Facebook page groups where people can express their various views on it. So, and I also made a presentation, an oral presentation to the Heritage Council when they were considering this. So that's just disclaiming some perceived conflicts,
yep,
which have no material or real bearing apart from the fact that it shows a demonstration to upholding community interest. And particularly, I just want to say, now that I've done that, just acknowledge that this is a tremendously valuable property for our city, potentially valued much more highly than any market would value it in terms of heritage alone. Need to acknowledge that there is a current application on this particular, and if I could just note that it's actually 302 Old Cleveland Road. There is a current application on the property. So there are some difficulties and obviously some confidentialities that we need to be aware of. It would be very helpful for Redland City Council to purchase this property because it's the only way that the heritage values will be ensured for the perpetuity of Redlands residents. We don't currently have a heritage register list for privately owned properties.
Councillor, you're getting a bit off the motion here. The motion is to...
Well, I think it's actually directly related because this is to investigate options to purchase the property.
It is.
As a purchaser, we would need to be apprised of any heritage aspects relating to the property, and they are specific, and they do need to be things that we are mindful of because as a council without a heritage list, we would need to be mindful of the fact that it does appear on the temporary local planning instruments of the cultural heritage significance of Redland Shire, effective as of 2001.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. Can we stay on track, please?
I await for your instruction, Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And so as potential purchasers, we'd need to be aware of not only the fact that there are noted heritage reports in the past identifying this property as of significance, we also need to acknowledge that there have been significant research by both the community members, commenced by an application from the Birkdale Progress Association about the heritage significance from a state perspective.
We are getting a long way off the track now, Councillor Bishop. I'd like you to speak to the motion, okay, which is to investigate purchase.
Absolutely.
Investigate options.
Yeah, I'd like to just note that there are many, many members of the community who are keenly, actively interested in what will happen here with regards to heritage matters. It's not just a series of dwellings that are on the property. There are Bunya Pines, Norfolk Pines. The issue of what is on the property is of significance. There's connection to heritage going back 150 years to the original landowners being the Willards, 80 years ownership. And
Councillor Bishop, we've heard all this many, many times, and you're a long way off the topic. So please...
Point of order, Madam Chair. Not Madam Chair, Mr Chair.
Point of order.
I think if you're having a motion to direct somebody to buy a property, then it's reasonable to talk about...
The point of order is invalid. The motion is not to direct... The point of order is invalid. Councillor Ogilvie, is invalid.
I haven't made the point of order.
Yes, you have.
I've jumbled up my words and describing the motion. But the actual point of order I haven't made. So the motion is to direct RIC to investigate the possible purchase of a property. I think it's fair for the council to talk about the motivations for having that direction made.
We have heard it many, many times before.
If I may, I'll speak as to why I think it is relevant. Redland City Council currently does not have a heritage strategy for this particular property or privately owned properties.
Councillor Tolley is putting a put motion. Those in favour of the put motion? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5... Look, I'm going to vote against the put motion. I'm sorry. The motion is lost. Do I need to record the put motion?
I do.
Okay, those in favour of the put motion, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Hardman. Those against, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Ogilvie, Councillor Boglari and Councillor Beard. Councillor Bishop, look, I've really allowed an awful lot of...
Can I speak to the reasons?
Latitude, yes, on this. And look, we've heard all this many, many times before. We're talking about a simple motion to instruct RIC to go out and investigate the options that are available to us on this property. We don't need to debate the heritage aspects of the property, the history of the Willards Farm. We've heard it many, many times, and we will debate it when that information comes back. Be assured, it will be debated in full at that time. We're simply talking about
an option. Are you debating me on this point?
No, I'm telling you that we are going to debate the issue of the value of the property, the heritage value of the property, once we receive the report. This is simply a motion to ask for the report.
Thank you. I'd like to just continue, if I may, about the fact that we have no current heritage strategy. We have no heritage policy. We have no heritage officers sufficient to advise us on the significance of the heritage aspects of this property. This could be an extraordinarily phenomenal opportunity. It's the only property in the city with the intact lands, 250 acres adjoining, significant in its purchase. A very important thing for us to consider as council, and I would like us all as councillors to be remindful of the fact that if a purchase did happen, it should in the first instance vest with Redland City Council.
Point of order, Mr Chair.
Okay, yeah, no,
that's a subject for a discussion at a later point.
Standing orders, the council has now had over 5 minutes.
I've been interrupted for most of that.
Okay, councillor, yes, the time has elapsed.
If I may sum up, please.
No, the time has elapsed. Councillor Boglari, you had a clarification. A clarification?
All we're doing is giving Rick permission to go and investigate purchasing in it, but anything past that will come back to council for a full council decision.
That's the case.
Sorry?
That is the case.
Thank you.
CEO?
Councillors should also note that legal advice was sent to you that it is very clear in the Constitution and in the service level agreement any purchase of land by Rick will be at the full resolution of council.
We've already spoken on that, Councillor Bishop. Any other comments, Councillor Elliott?
For the sake of the public,
the argument is whether we buy it in the Redlands Investment Corporation or council buys it as the council. Council controls both. I don't have a problem with this. We're all going to vote for this, believe it or not. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other comment? Questions? Councillor Edwards, to sum up.
I think the motion's quite clear and simple. I think Councillor Elliott's right. I think most of us support this.
Okay. The motion is very clear. Put the motion, those in favour.
Aye.
Those against. The motion's carried unanimously after that. Okay, we go to... Well, look, we've got an item in closed session, but I don't believe we need to go to closed session.
Mr Chair, just before you go... Councillor, without notice, as I was coming away this morning, I remembered that there was a motion foreshadowed regarding agriculture from Division Five Councillor Mark Edwards, and I'm just wondering what's happening with that.
Councillor Edwards,
you should have received an email the notice of motion for next general meeting. I was short by one day to get it in for this, and so it's in the next general meeting.
Next general meeting.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to ask a question because the proposed motion foreshadows that there will be no report on the investigation into aquaculture options and back to council.
I don't think we can discuss. We can't discuss it. There is no motion before us, Councillor.
Well, then I'm going to move an urgent motion. It's either somebody answers my question or I move an urgent motion.
Well, move the motion.
Well, it would be easier for everybody if I was just able to ask.
No, move the motion. We're not discussing an emotion that's not before us.
Okay, Madam, Mr. Chair, I would like council to be told that council resolve that a report be given today on what actions have been taken to enact the motion that was previously moved by myself on the aquaculture industry. Full stop.
Joyce, did you get that by any chance? Did you say that again, please, Craig? We need to determine first if it's urgent and if it's relevant.
The reason why it is urgent... Mr.
Hang on, we'll get it up on the screen. Would you read it again, please? Councillor Ogilvie, item 6 of the checklist for an urgent motion without notices. If the matter relates to a request for information, has the request been made to the CEO or a general manager previously?
No, Mr. Chair, but it doesn't prevent me from that particular... That is one of the criteria amongst many criteria as to whether it's urgent business without notice. I'd like to now tell you why I think it is urgent.
Well, we've got it on the screen. Let's get it up on the screen.
Can you read it again? Alan, could you read it when convenient?
Yep.
That counts. Let council resolve that a report be given today on the actions that have been taken to enact the motion previously moved by myself on the aquaculture industry.
I'll read it when it's on screen. Just one second, mate. Okay, does that satisfy your motion, Craig? Okay, before we take a second, or I guess we need to determine, is it an urgent motion? Does it need to be dealt with at this meeting? Councillor Elliott?
Can we deal with it if we do approve it?
Because well, that's the next question.
In the room that can answer that?
The next question, I guess. I guess, firstly, we need to determine, is it urgent business without notice?
Well, I get to talk to that matter, Mr. Chair. So the reason why it's urgent business without notice was when I removed the report back in, I think, a month ago now, I mentioned that we had an investor in the area who was prepared to put money into an industry that would be job-creating for the area, but that investor did not have patient money and would perhaps take that money to another catchment outside, in other words, not the Redlands. I asked that report come back to council quite urgently, i.e. before December, because that investor is not patient. Now, I heard as of last week, 3 weeks after I moved the motion, that no one had even contacted the investor. I don't know if that investor has been contacted now, a month later, but the report, as the motion that is currently on the books, asks for a report back by December. In other words, in a month's time. We've got an impatient investor, 1 month later, with a 1 month to go before the report, who hasn't been contacted.
Okay. Councillors, we've heard that. Do we do...
Time frame, and that there was no
time frame in the motion that we eventually voted on. Councillor Ogilvie? No. Councillor Talley tried to move an amendment to the motion, that effect, but it didn't succeed. We ended up with a report being due by December.
Okay, councillors, I'm in your hands. Is it an urgent notice without notion, without an urgent motion without notice? Those in favour? It is an urgent motion without notice. Do we need to record that? Urgent motion without notice. Those in favour, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hardman, Councillor Ogilvie, Councillor Boglari. Those against, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Tolte, I assume, and Councillor Beard. The motion is carried. So it is now a motion before us. Councillor Ogilvie has spoken to it. CEO, is it possible to provide the information that he requires?
I don't have the information on hand. I don't know if any of the officers do, so you may have to do an adjournment so that we can prepare a report.
Well, we don't, because the motion says today, so it doesn't need to be within this meeting. We can do it at any time today. Okay. So the information will be circulated to all councillors before the end of the day. Speakers against the motion? Well, speaker against the motion? Councillor Tolley?
Yeah, well, what if the only officer that knows about it's on leave today? How can that possibly be? That's not reasonable.
Well, if it's possible, it'll be done. If it's not, it won't.
Well, then we'll be in breach of the direction of council.
Well, we can give information. That information may be that the information is not available at this moment.
Righto.
We can respond to the motion. Sorry, but that's fact of life. Speaker against the motion? Speaker for the motion? Comments? Councillor Elliott.
Is that going to be enough? Is just a briefing note going to be circulated by the end of the day? Is that satisfy?
That's my understanding.
Councillor Ogilvie's. Does that satisfy you? Okay, that's all I want to know.
Okay. We can't ask a question, Councillor Ogilvie, about a motion that's not before us. Okay, yes. To sum up, Councillor Ogilvie, if you need to.
Chair, I think it is entirely reasonable that the executive leadership group would know about the progress of motions that are moved in this forum. This is the highest decision-making forum that we have. This is not just an email exchange type situation. If you move a motion and it's approved by the council, then your executive leadership group should absolutely have every understanding of what is happening with that motion and be on top of enacting it.
Okay, well, hopefully by the end of the day, you'll have the information. I put the motion, those in favour. As against?
Aye.
The motion's carried. Those in favour are Councillor Bishop, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Hardman, Councillor Ogilvie. Those against, Councillor Boglari. Those against, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Edwards and Councillor Beard. The motion is carried. Okay. We move to the closed session. Now, I understand that we may not need to move to closed section. It's an infrastructure and operations. Councillor Elliott. Urgent business without notice.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, I have to make a formal statement. The local government remuneration disciplinary tribunal has determined by the first general meeting, and this is it.
In that case, it's urgent. Okay. Thanks, Councillor Elliott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On 12th of October 2015, the local government remuneration discipline tribunal determined that I had engaged in misconduct under the Local Government Act by performing my responsibilities or exercising my powers as a counsel in a way that was not honest or impartial. I wish to apologise for that misconduct. The tribunal's determination relates to statements that I made to the Redland City Bulletin journalist, which was published on the 17th of March 2015. Those statements concern legal proceedings in the Planning Environment Court regarding the proposed Ausbil development of Cleveland Redland Bay Road Toolmans. Council has received legal advice which recommended Council seek to settle those proceedings. In accordance with that advice, Council, Council settled proceedings in December 2014. However, in my statements to the journalist, I said that the legal advice had recommended that Council proceed to defend the matter to a court hearing rather than to settle. I accept the tribunal's finding that my statements to the journalist regarding the legal advice were incomplete and misleading as to the effect of the advice. It was never my intention to mislead the community in my actions and only to state my interpretation on the legal advice. I recognise I've acted inappropriately and apologise for my actions.
Thank you.
That concludes my statement.
Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry.
No, we don't need to see it up. We don't need to see it up there.
No, no, that's okay. I'm just saying at the top it says strictly confidential subject to legal professional advice.
There you go.
So I wouldn't give it to anybody until I read it.
Can we move on now to item 16, which is the closed session, the infrastructure and operations. Do we need to move into confidential?
Happy to move, Mr. Chairman.
The item is 16.1.1, the resolution of Council to call expression of interest for a waste transfer station operations contract. Moved by Councillor Elliott. Seconded. Go ahead.
See ya. I'd just like to put up the resolution, Councillor Ogilvie, just so that we're all clear on the fish project, that the resolution was actually to conduct a workshop before December of this year. So just so that we're clarified on the actual motion. We still will do the verbal report, no question around that. I take your criticism and take that on board and we will circulate that. But that is just for correctness of the record. That is the actual motion that is being worked upon.
Thank you, CEO. Councillor Elliott has moved the item 16.1.1, the resolution of Council to call expressions of interest for a waste transfer station operations contract. Moved by Councillor Elliott, seconded by Councillor Edwards. We don't need to speak to the motion. I put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The motion is carried unanimously. Councillors, I don't see any other business to be conducted by this meeting today. So accordingly, I thank you for your attendance. Members of the community, thank you for coming today. Thank you, Judith. Thank you, councillors, council officers. I close the meeting at 10:28.